Welcome to the Ultimate Lifespan Podcast with Buck Risby, bringing you the latest in evidence-based but often controversial approaches to natural health and wellness with less stress. Plus, healthy advances for slipping into your ideal weight while looking and feeling younger than your years. Sprinkled with surprising stories, expert interviews, and plenty of irreverence for the status quo. If you're ready to take charge of your health and finally feel in control, buckle up and enjoy this next episode of Ultimate Lifespan.
Hey folks, Buck Risby here. In this episode of the Ultimate Lifespan Podcast, I'm going to share specific rituals for stress relief and better performance that I have had success with. Rituals can take many forms, and one that we may all be familiar with is with professional sports players, whether basketball or tennis, for example, where the pro bounces the ball a certain number of times before taking a free throw shot or performing the tennis serve. And they do that because they're trying to get repetitive performance. They're trying to improve their performance. Well, what's interesting is that in many studies, including a recent Harvard Business School study, that has been validated. The results of the study showed that performing a ritual does in fact improve performance, but maybe not for reasons that we might otherwise believe. They correlated the improvement in performance because of a reduction in feelings of anxiety. So maybe the person already had the ability to perform well, but by increasing stress, by increasing anxiety, that would reduce their overall performance. So the ritual reduced stress, reduced anxiety, what's called an anxiolytic effect, and allowed them to perform better. We also have seen this in other studies associated with spirituality. There was a study performed by the University of Florida and Wayne State in Detroit, where they found that 96% of the study participants who used the ritual of prayer were able to specifically cope with stress. Now, presumably they would use prayer and doing it regularly, using it as a ritual, were also able, by reducing that stress, able to perform better as well. But that part, that correlation wasn't made in that particular study. One thing I note, or I remember, from my wife's experience, and I'm married to my wife, Diva. She's from Lithuania, and we've made many trips together to Lithuania. And during one of those trips, we had a chance to spend some time with her grandparents, including her grandmother, Juzefa. Now, Juzefa is no longer with us, but at the time when we met with her, I just noticed that she was very energetic, very vivacious. She moved around very quickly for a woman in her 90s, and she spoke just so sweetly to Diva. And after I had a chance to meet Grandmother Juzefa, Diva shared the story with me that when she was a little girl, she would go and spend summers with her grandparents, and she always remembered her grandmother would take some time to sit at the window with her rosary beads and go through the ritual of prayer, using a repetitive chant and manipulating the rosary beads, and that was her way of coping with stress and reducing anxiety in her life. Now, Juzefa was a woman who had been through multiple world wars. My wife told me the story about how when Juzefa was breastfeeding one of her babies, a German soldier broke into the house and was looking for her husband. So I know that woman has been through a lot of stress in her life, had been, and she was able to leverage a ritual, in her case, a spiritual ritual. Well, what's interesting is, and this is not in any way, shape, or form focused on spirituality, but just one aspect of this is that spirituality is linked with better overall health, reduced hypertension, more positive feelings, and a lower incidence of depression. And I would say that there's some unique aspects of spirituality, not necessarily just being religious, but some of the components of spirituality that maybe we can all learn from here. One is that spirituality is something that brings us joy. It is a way of loving yourself, accepting yourself, So I think about that for me a lot, is that I want to make sure that I'm taking care of myself, my own garden, so to speak, first, before I can relate to the world and the people around me. But spirituality is that way of loving and accepting yourself so that you can relate to the world and people around you. It's a notion of connection with something bigger than me, something bigger than ourselves, and definitely a journey. I know I'm on a journey constantly. I think about this in searching for meaning in life. If we don't have meaning, if we're always feeling like, you know, the world's against us and there's no purpose, then, you know, what is the purpose, right? So I think always being curious and on the hunt, on seeking for meaning in life, is what we all need to go through throughout the journey of our lives. So I've come up with 7 what I call healthy rituals. And these are all things that I've had success with over the years. I continue to use, and I'm hoping that you'll get something out of them. These are all rituals that have been validated. And I think that if you, there just happen to be 7 of them. I'm sure there are more rituals that you can incorporate in your life, but I think anyone can incorporate 5 to 7 things in their lives each and every day and get some benefit from them. And I typically incorporate, I want to say, probably 5 of them in any given day. Okay. So one ritual is this notion of being grateful, expressing and thinking about what you're grateful for. I think about these things multiple times a day, and I find, even though I'm not a religious person, I find this concept of expressing gratitude, thinking of what I'm grateful for, whether it's my family, whether it's my work, whether it's other aspects of my life, my friends, that gives me a sense of calmness, of serenity. And I highly, highly recommend that notion of gratitude. Is probably a fundamental way to kick off your day. It is the ultimate antidepressant, I think. And it's something that I really enjoy and appreciate incorporating into my life. Another ritual that I practice, now I'll have to admit, I don't do this as often as I should. And after I record this, I'm actually going to take some time and meditate myself. I enjoy meditation. I'm able to meditate. One aspect of meditation is your ability to clear your mind as much as possible, even for as little as 5 to 10 minutes. If you sit yourself in a nice quiet spot, you close your eyes, you don't have a TV or music or anything else playing in the background, and just clear your mind and focus on your breath, breathing in through the nose, maybe out through the mouth, for a period of 10 minutes, that can be incredibly restorative and relaxing. So meditation. Now, if you need some help, one application that I found works very well for me is the Headspace app, which you can find on the Google Play or on the Apple App Store. The other thing that I do, and I don't do this all the time, but I typically practice it when I sense that I'm under high levels of stress. And that is get my breathing under control. And there's a specific exercise that you can go through to control your breath. And why would you want to use this? Well, a good story, I'll share the technique for breathing in just a moment, but a good story resulted from a conversation I had with my sister. She called me the other day and said she was stressed out because she had a bad interaction with a family member. It was over text. She wanted to talk to me about it. And man, I could really relate because I had a similar situation happen with another one of my kids, actually, via text message. And in both cases, whether it was myself and my child or my sister and another family member, both of us were upset as a result of reading a text message. And, you know, before responding to that text, because so much communication can be lost through email and through texting, I like to employ a breathing exercise, and this exercise is really simple. It is breathing in through your nose and filling your belly, you know, just imagining that you're filling your belly to the count of, say, 5, holding it for a few seconds, and then audibly breathing out, let's say, to the count of 5 as well. If you repeat, so I'll just go through it now. You go, holding. Okay, so, you know, 10, 15 seconds, you're going through one pattern of this breathing in, feeling your belly full, holding and letting it out, and repeating that for a period of, I don't know, 30 to 45 seconds. Just that exercise alone will release stress. It will enable you then to take a pause and consider before you reply. So in the case of my communication with my child, I, rather than get angry, I was able to step back and think about, well, okay, this is what I call a very important person in my life. This is one of my VIPs, okay? And when you have somebody that's a VIP in your life, you really don't want to hurt the relationship. And that kind of leads us into the next ritual, and that is to connect. If you have a ritual where you connect with one of your VIPs each and every day, okay, that is one powerful thing that you can do. But I'm going to qualify that by saying you should connect with your very important person. That could be your spouse, your child, your brother or sister, your parents, right? Close friends. So you talk to one of your VIPs, one of them, let's say, or a couple of them if you have the time, each and every day. But here's the catch. You need to communicate with them, accepting them as they are without judgment. And I think by using that breathing exercise before you step into that conversation, especially if you're, have a little bit of priming where you might think you could be upset in this conversation, you want to step back and say, look, I'm going to use the breathing exercise. I'm going to communicate with them, but I'm going to remember this concept, which is I am going to accept them as they are without judgment because they are a VIP in my life. But the key thing here in the ritual is to connect. Connect with somebody that is one of your VIPs. And that takes us to the next one, which is to disconnect. Wow, what are you talking about here, Buck? Connect, disconnect? Well, disconnect means, for me, disconnect from social media. And I got to tell you, I've had this conversation numerous times with my wife, Diva, because, you know, with the current crisis, who can't jump on social media or on mainstream media news and read the headlines and read stories that have been shared and get our anxiety increased, get our stress and anxiety increased? And I got to tell you, that is completely counterproductive. It's depressing, it's frustrating, it's angering oftentimes, and it's a huge time suck. So what I find is, look, there's probably no way that we're going to avoid social media news 100% of the time. But in order to have productivity and feel a sense of accomplishment, you're going to need to get certain things done, right? Each and every day, we need to feel a sense of accomplishment and that we've completed something that was important. I don't think reading a clickbait news headline is going to be one of those important tasks today, right? Which I'll get into in the notion of prioritizing here in just a moment. But one thing you need to do each and every day is block off time to disconnect. One way I do it, and it works extremely well for me, is I leverage an app called Self-Control. I happen to run Mac computers. My wife has a Mac laptop. So the Self-Control app, which is absolutely free, is an app that can just completely disconnect you from any site you want. Could be Facebook, could be Amazon, can be news sites, etc. So you can disconnect and then focus on the tasks that are important. A similar app, there's another app out there called Freedom that works on PC. But I think the key here is just make sure that you are disconnecting for large blocks of time. And if you need some self-control like I do, leverage an app like Self-Control or Freedom to make it happen and enforce it, okay? And that takes me to, well, this is a related ritual, and that's the ritual of prioritization. I have found myself to be much more effective when I take the time to decide what are the top one or two tasks that I must complete tomorrow, okay? And if I get those tasks done, if I'm able to get other stuff done, that's great. But if I get these one or two things, I will feel truly satisfied, gratified, happy, appreciative. I'll be in a great mood. I'll have energy. I'll have low stress if I get those one or two tasks done. But you need to decide what those are. And they have to be certainly doable within that, you know, one day period of time. So identify, prioritize and identify. And what I do is document. So I put it, you can put it on a post-it note and stick it on your computer. You can write it. I have a whiteboard behind me, so I can write it on my whiteboard. And I love the manual ritual of crossing it out on the whiteboard. So whatever works for you, okay? Sometimes people put it into apps and they check off the apps. If that works for you, that's great. I like the tactile aspect of writing it down. So whether it's on a post-it or on the whiteboard and crossing it out, because it just gives me that sense of accomplishment and I got it done. But avoid putting too many things. If you're going to put 20 different tasks you got to get done and you don't get them all done, you're going to be frustrated. So pick the one or two rocks, if you will, that you want to get done tomorrow. Put it on your whiteboard, put it on your post-it note, and knock it out. And how are you going to knock it out? Well, I just gave you a tool for doing that. Disconnecting from social media, using an app like Self-Control or Freedom, giving yourself blocks of time, schedule that time on your calendar to get it done. Okay. And that's going to take me to my seventh and final ritual. And that's the ritual. And I tell you, since we've had this kind of pandemic and crisis that we've been through and all the stress that all of us have been going through, I'm finding that a lot of my friends are exercising more than ever as a means of stress relief. I've had a similar experience when I was, we had a lawsuit that we were facing as a business and we prevailed in that lawsuit. But during that time, I was very stressed. And the only thing that saved my bacon was working with a personal trainer and exercising every day with that personal trainer. But you don't need to have a personal trainer to make this happen. And with this pandemic, it's hard to get together with a personal trainer. So one interesting conversation I just had with a friend of mine, Dr. Steve Siskin, you know, he's got a rowing machine in his apartment and he hits that rowing machine every single day. I have an old spin bike in my basement, and which I've coupled with the app from Peloton, and I'm able to do a spin session every day. And now I'm doing 30-minute spin sessions and combining that with maybe a daily walk midday to get some sunshine. So that daily ritual of exercise is a healthy ritual that is going to reduce dramatically the stress, and it's going to improve your overall health, your strength, your ability to cope. So that is the seventh ritual that anyone can follow. I'm going to go through them real quick once again. Think of something you're grateful for. Meditate. You only need to meditate for 10 minutes. You can use an app like Headspace. Use a breathing exercise. I gave you that. Breathe in 5, hold, breathe out for 5. Repeat that maybe 3 or 4 times. Connect with your VIPs. Think about who are your VIPs? Who are your personal VIPs? And they're not people that your friends on Facebook necessarily. They're your partner, your kids, your parents, your siblings, right? And then extend beyond that to close friends. But when you do connect with them, again, accept them as they are without judgment. I told you that story about my sister and my kid, you know, and being able to follow up with them, even though I might have been angry, but I leveraged those tools that I shared with you. Disconnect from social media using apps like Self-Control and Freedom. Prioritize those things that you really want to get done. I'm not talking about 15 or 20 things. Pick one or two, just one or two. Yes, you can have other things that it would be nice to get those taken care of, but if you get those one or two rocks done, boom, man, I tell you, life is absolutely wonderful. And then finally, the exercise piece. And I recommend whatever works for you. If you can just do 20 minutes of a walk, 25 minutes of a walk, that's great. If you can add a little bit more to it and push yourself, that's great too. Whether it's, you know, using a spin bike, using a rowing machine, using some other method, no matter where you are, we all have the ability to add some level of exercise to our lives. So I tell you, my mom, who's in her 90s, tells me constantly about the types of exercises that she's doing, using dumbbells and things like that to improve her strength. If my 93-year-old mother can do that, you can too. So that's what I had for you today. Thanks for allowing me to share this with you. I think if you incorporate even just a handful of these seven rituals into your life, you are going to have dramatic stress relief and perform better. This is Buck Risby. I will see you on the next episode of the Ultimate Lifespan Podcast. See you later.
Thanks for joining us today on Ultimate Lifespan. Head on over to ultimatelifespan.com for full recaps of every show, our controversial but educational blog articles, and to take our ever-popular 30-second health assessment quiz. See you at ultimatelifespan.com.